It's called Laoya, Vikshepa, Apratipati, Kashaya, and Rasavada. Laoya means sleep, Vikshepa means distraction, Apratipati means indifference and disinterest in spiritual topics, Kashaya, tendency towards bad habits, and Rasavada, taste for material enjoyment. So in the process of performing devotional service, these things can enter in. And then he describes, Laoya means a tendency to sleep during kirtan, shravana, hearing, chanting, and remembering, japa, in that order of tendency. So that means that increased tendency, there's more increased tendency to become lazy or sleepy during remembering than there is in hearing, and in hearing than more than there is in chanting. So we can see this is considered to be an obstacle. Why does this occur? Does Laoya occur? Due to disinterest. Basically disinterested. One loses interest, and one's material tendencies start to creep in. Sleep. Vikshepa, distraction. He explains a little bit about distraction. This is explained in more detail. Actually, Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj has done somewhat of a commentary, an explanation in finer and finer points within Anna Madhurya Kandambini and his, Sacred Teaching series, where he describes in the second volume, he speaks in great length about some of these things. Distraction. One gets distracted away from the topics of devotional service. Indifference or disinterested in spiritual topics. What does that indifference and disinterest do? Due to laziness, due to interest in other topics. Sometimes devotees develop interests which was somewhat parallel to the process of devotional service, like reading newspapers, Time magazine, watching television, or hearing the news, like that, these things. And sometimes these things can overshadow one will start losing the interest in Krishna, in hearing topics about the Lord, because the mind starts to become affected by the mundane material sound vibrations, and one cannot really develop a real interest in Krishna consciousness. To develop that interest means the purification of the heart, that the heart becomes purified by hearing and chanting the Lord, the glories of the Lord, and refraining from the association of mundane topics. So this is a big obstacle. Sometimes devotees, in the sense of what we say researching different areas of the material energy, start to play with that energy and start to think, well, I can use this information in devotional service. But yeah, it can be done, but one has to be pretty much fixed in the process of devotional service. Otherwise, that tendency to hear these topics will also develop a personal interest in these things, which may also, will impede one's, attention and become a distraction in one's devotional service. I know, I can see that. Sometimes I see in certain situations where devotees just watch television. Just recently, I won't name where, there was a big issue about practically every devotee had a television in his room. And it wasn't all just for Krishna consciousness videos. And then what happens then when you go to kirtans, when you come to the classes, you're not really there, and sometimes you don't go. Because mundane sound vibration actually destroys or reinforces our material tendencies. And one cannot get that taste to hear and chant the glories of the Lord. And sometimes we delve into these, extracurricular activities in the wrong way. We see it when sometimes a very highly advanced devotee will do that in order to add to certain points in his presentation, to make the presentation understandable to certain class of people. And of course we see Bhakti Kirtan Maharaj has done that. And he was explaining to us the other night when we were sitting in the room, he said, you know, I did this austerity for years, I had to read all these mundane books. He was just saying it in a very negative way. I had to do that in order to preach to a certain class of people about, you know, certain aspects of principles that lead to ultimately to bhakti. And there's a lot of my books, you know, I needed to read and do it, but he said it was just a big austerity. But it's, you know, for someone who's fixed, they can make a complete distinction between, but always have to be careful. That's an obstacle in devotional service. It allows for one to become lazy when it comes to hearing and chanting the glories of the Lord, which is really the foundation of our advancement in Krishna consciousness. So that is an obstacle. And that can also lead for a taste for material enjoyment. Sense gratification is the obstacle in Krishna consciousness, mundane sense gratification. And the process of purification gradually frees us from the tendency for sense gratification, but we have to be careful not to to keep our devotional service in such a way that we're not affected by what we say, wrong association or the tendency for sense gratification again. In these five obstacles, in the previous section in this book, it's explained that here are some of the, what we say, these are certain, what we say, wrong ways to perform devotional service. As we were explaining, devotional service is a science, and certain things must be there in order to bring about our natural love of God. But one, if one is not following the process correctly, or if one gets a misunderstanding of how the process works, doesn't hear correctly, or is not able to apply what they hear correctly, then they get a different result. So Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explains certain faults, or what we say, certain, what he calls them, what's the exact word he uses here? These are more like faults in the execution, or misunderstandings of the process of devotional service. And he describes six of these things. One of them is Utsaha Mayi, Gana Tarala, Yuda, Vikalpa, Visarga Sangara, Nikya, I'll go over them again, Niya Maksamam, and Taranga Rangini. Technical. Utsaha Mayi, he gives the example, a Brahmin child, having just begun to study scriptures, thinks he has immediately become a learned scholar worthy of everyone's praise. Similarly, a person just beginning devotional service may have the audacity to think that he has mastered everything. This is called utsaha mayi, or filled, puffed up with enthusiasm. So devotional service is pleasurable. When one comes in the process of devotional service, one starts to see, oh, devotees are nice, prasadam is nice, chanting is so nice, everything looks so, you know, the sights and the sounds are all very stimulating to the senses. And it's very, you know, enlivening. And one may take up the process and feel happy, and then one starts to think, or one starts to hear the class and starts to, and after a while one starts to think, yeah, I got it. Got it down. I remember in the old days in Krishna consciousness, we had a name for that. It was called PDF. PDS. Pure Devotional Syndrome. Yeah. Pure Devotional Syndrome. After 1 year in Krishna consciousness, I got it. Got it all down. But actually, it doesn't work like that. You know, after the second year, you realize you're nowhere. Because Krishna is very merciful. And as we enter into the process, And we're somewhat free from what we say, the tendency to see things mundane. But as we stay in devotional service, we start also making aparads, or start seeing mistakes or falses. And then we start seeing things mundane. And then what happens is that one's consciousness is diverted away from the process, and one starts to develop a wrong attitude. So this puffed up with enthusiasm, it can happen, especially for persons who's coming in. One shouldn't be enthusiastic, but one should also understand that the process is not like that. It's a gradual purification of the heart. And as we were explaining the 9 stages of devotional service all the way up to the stage of prema. The second one is Gana Charala here. And then Vishwanath Chakravarti goes on to say, the same child at times diligently engages in his studies, and at other times, due to inability to understand the scriptures or lack of real taste, becomes negligent. In the same way, a new devotee will sometimes practice the different forms of devotional service, and other times will neglect them, being sometimes diligent and sometimes negligent. This endeavor is called Gana Charala, which he defines as condensed and diluted, or thick and thin. Yeah. So that means one becomes really enthusiastic, and then somehow when one doesn't get the results, one starts to, In other words, one performs devotional service in a very fruitive way, looking for the results of that. And one is inspired by results rather than by the service itself or by the instructions itself. So one sometimes is very enthusiastic, and then the next moment can't find them. The next one is similar to that, so I won't get too much to explanation, but there is a subtle difference. So this is like thick and thin. Due to his inability to understand the scriptural knowledge, he thinks he has the understanding, but sometimes he's enthusiastic. It's better to remain what we say steady. Steady in devotional service means that one simply performs their duty, their activities out of duty. This is the key to what we say progress in Krishna consciousness, to develop a sense of duty, strong sense of duty. And it's the instructions of the spiritual master, it's the process of making advancement. I must get up, I must attend the programs, I must chant my rounds, I must do my service, like that. In a lower stage, one is inspired by the results. If I'm happy or if I'm getting the results, then I'm inspired. If I'm not, then I lose my enthusiasm. And then I just look for other ways to find satisfaction other than my devotional activities. So let's just stick into it. The next one is Vyuda Vikalpa. I'll go through these and then we can discuss. Shall I just spend my life happily in family life, making my wife and children Krishna consciousness and worshipping the Lord? Or should I give them all up and go to Vrindavan to perfect myself by engaging full time in hearing, chanting with no distractions? Shall I wait till the last stage after enjoying all sorts of pleasures? And if I finally understand that the whole material world is simply a forest fire of affliction, or is it better that I renounce now? So, sometimes wanting to, remain within the Grihastha ashram and go through the process. Other times, hearing certain scriptural references about Grihastha ashram in a negative way, hearing some in a positive way. So, going back and forth, should I renounce or should I enjoy? So this is called, and then there's a whole series of verses. This is called vivuda vikalpa, means extensive speculation. And here there's a whole series of verses that are given that support both sides. Support the grihastha ashram, support the meaning. So one will think, well, what should I do? Today, all my rounds are so good. Wow, this is so nice. I think I'll take sannyas. Yeah. And tomorrow, God, wow, each round is like, you know, taking me so long. It's so difficult. I better not. You know. So one day up, one day down. And one's, you know, vision for Krishna consciousness is so affected by what's happening at the moment. You get stuck in the moment and making plans for the future based on what's happening. Right? We all do that, right? Jai! Ki jai! Wow, that was a great kirtan, great prasad. Association of devotees, wow, the deities look so nice. This Krishna consciousness is so wonderful. Wow, that's all I want. The next day, you know, nobody's talking to me. It's difficult. The prasadam's not on time. Or he just goes, takes rest or something. You know, it's just like back and forth. It's speculating on basis on what happens moment to moment. Making big plans for the future and to renounce, making big plans in the future is to not renounce. So that's a fault in devotional service. One has to be careful with that. How does one have to overcome that? Well, one has to follow the instructions of the spiritual master very carefully. That's the key. Get the instructions of the spiritual master, follow them very carefully, and make progress towards the golden life like that. The spiritual master gives you a particular instruction, then you can follow that, and not so much, you know, what's happening from day to day. Stay fixed. We can avoid speculation. The next one is, that's number, is that the third one or the fourth one? That was the third one. The next one is Visaya Sangara. Visaya Sangara is seeing that material enjoyment is forcibly carrying him away and impairing his steadiness in serving Krishna. The devotee resolves to renounce his addictions and take shelter of the holy name, but many times his attempts at renunciations often ends up enjoying what he tries to renounce. This ongoing battle with desires for sense enjoyment from former habit, where he sometimes meets with victory and sometimes with defeat, is called visayasana, or struggle with sense pleasure. So Krishna gives the formula. He says, having awakened faith in topics about me, my devotee is disgusted with all material activities, knowing that sense gratification leads to misery. Still, though he tries, he is unable to give up material desires and sometimes engages in the same sense enjoyment that brings only misery. He knows it's misery, but still he falls into that. But repenting such activities, he should worship me with love, faith, and firm conviction. So trying to give up sense gratification, but falling into that same thing one is trying to give up, one becomes discouraged. Trying to give it up, can't. So Krishna just says here, just repenting one's mistake or one's falling towards that tendency for sense gratification, continue to worship me with love, faith, and firm conviction. And gradually, through the process of purification, one will develop the strength and the necessary purification to overcome the tendency for sense gratification. So, the ongoing battle for sense enjoyment. Sometimes, the audience, We do some really wild things sometimes in Krishna consciousness. Try to jump the process. I think who was explaining. There was one class we were discussing. Yeah, it was here. It was Sunday night. There was one devotee. And he was from Africa. He came to Mayapur along with the rest of the devotees with Prabhupada. And he wanted to just, you know, give up everything. So he started chanting this 32 rounds. Then he started chanting 64 rounds. He was doing less and less service and just chanting more and more. And Prabhupada was asking about, you know, devotees would tell Prabhupada, Prabhupada would listen, but Prabhupada wasn't so pleased. Prabhupada said, what is he doing now? Well, now Prabhupada, he's living in a tree. Remember, that was his final step. He was living in a tree and chanting 64 rounds a day. And then a few days later, Prabhupada said, Prabhupada's left. You know, trying to, all of a sudden, that they say, charge into the gates of heaven, become a pure devotee overnight. One should follow the process very carefully. One should not get discouraged if one is not able to give up a type of sense gratification or attachment. One should remain steady and fixed on the path and pray to the Lord for the strength. So that inability or the struggle with sense pleasure is also called Visaya Sangara. The next one is Niyamakshima. Then the devotee will resolve, from today on I will chant such and such number of rounds of japa and will pay so many obeisances. I will perform services for the devotees. I won't talk about anything except the Lord, and I'll give up association with people who talk gossip. Though the devotee makes such resolutions every day, he is not able to carry them out. This is called niyamak sama, or inability to follow rules, which they mean vows. Visaya Sangara is the inability to give up sense enjoyment, and niyamakshama is the inability to improve one's devotional service. So one is trying to improve their devotional service, but they're not able to. They take on certain vows, and are not able to fulfill the vows. I won't talk any nonsense. And then Maya puts them in a situation to test them. I'll dissociate with pure devotees. You know, the strong, you know, the vows of wanting to just do everything perfect. But an inability to improve one's devotional service. And the last one is Taranga Rangini. This is an interesting one. Finally, it is well known that the very nature of bhakti is to be attractive. Thus many people become attracted to the devotee, the abode of bhakti. And, as the old adage goes, by the public's attraction, one becomes wealthy. Bhakti produces much opportunity for material gain, worship, and position, which is called labdha, puja, pratishta. These are weeds around the creeper of bhakti. Seeing one's pleasure amidst these weed-like facilities, which are but small waves in the ocean of bhakti, is called taranga rangini, delighting in material facilities. So what that means is that one starts to see their advancement or their happiness in Krishna consciousness by how much they have. What position they have, or what wealth they may have gained, or what service they may have. They see that their success simply by the external perks, the things that come by way of the process of bhakti. And one gets attached to that. One gets attached to being worshipped. One gets attached to, you know, being in control. One gets attached to a position like that. And they see that that's their advancement. Rather than the purification of the heart, it's the external aspects of bhakti that comes by way of the execution of bhakti and not the actual purification of the heart itself. So that is a flaw in devotional service, and that's one of the main things why many, what we say, so-called advanced devotees fall down, become attached to, you know, to being worshipped, being praised, you know, especially if you're a sannyasi or a guru or GBC or even a temple president, you may get attached to all the glorification that comes with the position and fail to really emphasize the real part of bhakti, which is purification of the heart, the hearing and chanting the glories of the Lord, and being fully engaged in one's devotional service. When one starts to fall back on these external things as one's happiness, or what we say, success in devotional service, it's easy to fall into. It's very subtle. So these are some, what we say, faults and obstacles that occur on the path of devotional service. So I thought I'd mention these just as a basis for maybe a discussion. There are many other forms of other obstacles in devotional service, but these are some of the primary ones that develop into the process of bhakti. As one makes advancement in devotional service, one has to contend with these subtle contaminations of these obstacles in devotional service. Any questions? We can stop here, maybe any questions or comments, or just in general about obstacles, difficulties. Yes, Prabhu, in the back.
In regards to obstacles, well, I mean, you mentioned the obstacles, but my question is regarding the spiritual master. Does the spiritual master help one overcome obstacles by means of his association on the physical plane? Or does the spiritual master work from different planes of existence? And if so, which I believe it probably is, could you categorize the different levels of existence and perhaps how the spiritual master may function on those levels, like what type of body he may have, if it's purely intellectual, if it's spiritual, if it's like a, et cetera, et cetera.
Process of bhakti, the process of hearing from the spiritual master and applying those principles. And there's generally two categories, specific instructions and general instructions. The general instructions we can hear through the lectures and through the writings. Specific instructions are for each individual devotee accordingly. So a sincere devotee is always trying to, somehow or other, follow the instructions of his spiritual master. And in the, what we say, the absence of the physical presence of the spiritual master, you know, one may also see how the spiritual master is working through the external energy and giving that devotee, what we say, guidance. Sometimes we say Krishna. We can say Krishna or the spiritual master is bringing the devotee closer and closer. The story in the 11th canto, I think it was the Avanti Brahmana. He had 25 gurus. He was seeing the wind as his guru, the prostitute as his guru, the dog as his guru. He had a whole list of gurus that were 25 aspects of the material nature. And from them he was learning different, what we say, devotional and philosophical principles, where he could actually apply them in his devotional life. So a sincere devotee will always, you know, try to execute the instructions of the spiritual master. And in his execution, he will be able to see how Krishna is reciprocating or giving him direction in different ways. And it takes a little bit of advancement, but that's what it means to be Krishna conscious. Yeah.
And also, one other evidence of regarding different levels of existence is how Bhakti Tirtha Swami was stating that that's not my morphine. That's not a statue. It's actually Prabhupada. So in order to actually see Prabhupada or to understand different levels of existence,
you simply follow the instructions. That's the basis. Where can you go? Where else can you go from there? Through the instructions, you go deeper and deeper into the relationship. As you follow the instructions, you get more and more instructions. If you can't follow the basic instructions, you're not going to get higher instructions. Spiritual master will take you according to where you are. If you're not chanting 16 rounds, or not following the principles, or not developing the basic qualities of a devotee, you can't expect to get more and more intimate instructions in more of what we say in the apricot, in the unmanifested, you know, aspect of the spiritual master's relationship. Well, after this, so this process is simple. Don't complicate it with all these kind of like, you know, ethereal things. Just understand the instructions and apply it. Srila Prabhupada said, I was never separated from my spiritual master because I'm always trying to execute his instructions. And so, as you execute the instructions, you get more and more realizations in devotionals, and through those realizations you get more and more understanding of how to apply more and more instructions. That's all. It's not a mind thing. Yes. Yeah, he said that. We chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, take Krishna Prasadam, read Bhagavad Gita, and then you can go back. In other words, Prabhupada's saying if you sincerely follow the basic principles of devotional service, the process is based on sincerity. Sincerity means you're willing to do whatever is necessary. You can't say I'm sincere, but you're not willing to do whatever is necessary. The definition of sincerity means that I'm willing to do whatever is necessary to chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. That means to purify my chanting, to come to the stage of pure chanting, to take Krishna prasadam in the process of understanding that this is Krishna coming in the form of prasadam, not simply in the form of something to satisfy my, you know, lusty desires. That's there, but that's not the main reason. And Bhagavad Gita, learn Bhagavad Gita and apply it in your life. Bhagavad Gita is meant not just for a philosophical scripture, but to apply the principles of Bhagavad Gita in the day-to-day, you know, setting. Bhagavad Gita is applicable. It's not just theoretical or philosophical. So when Prabhupada gives these simple statements, pretty much he's saying if you follow these processes sincerely, then, you know, you will attain the goal. Properly. As we were saying, you can do things. You can chant Hare Krishna, but at the same time you cannot chant Hare Krishna while you're chanting Hare Krishna. You can be reading Bhagavad Gita and not really be reading it. You really don't understand what is the purpose of your reading Bhagavad Gita. Well, that's another statement. When Tamal Krishna Goswami asks Srila Prabhupada, how is it we've come to Krishna consciousness and we look at our backgrounds, we don't have any pious activities, we don't have any sukriti, how is it that the scriptures say that in order to come to devotional service you must have some previous pious activities, sukriti, devotion service? Prabhupada, just to show, to give us an understanding of his mercy towards us, he said, I've created your good fortune. And that's a fact. It wasn't a statement of, you know, it wasn't some exaggeration. He was actually saying that. And he did that. In order to start this movement, he, you know, really gave us so much mercy and facility to do things. And he was, you know, he was, for example, when they opened the temple in Australia. Prabhupada went there for the first time. And he saw the devotees, they were so unqualified. And they were just, they invited Prabhupada to a deity installation. The deities were being installed in Australia. But Prabhupada was thinking before he left, well, these devotees, I don't know how they're going to be able to. So there's a story how he prayed. He said, "My dear Lord," he prayed to the deities, "please be merciful to them and accept their devotional service." You know, knowing that his students were so unqualified to worship the Lord. Prabhupada could see that, but he was making a special prayer to Krishna. "Please give him your mercy. Overlook all their inabilities, their faults, you know, their neophyte tendencies." Now, that was Prabhupada. Yes. That's the exact quote. Yeah.
And then there's another quote about optimism where the prophet says, "You say there are many stumbling blocks on your path, but what are these stumbling blocks? And one kid you might move, I can push it away."
Yeah. With the mercy of the spiritual master, Mukhan Karoti Vachalam Pangum Lagate Giring Yakripa Kamaram Bande Sigurundina Tarinam. And by the mercy of the spiritual master, a blind man can see the stars, a lame man can cross over mountains, and a dumb man can recite, you know, beautiful poetry. And it's a fact that by the mercy of, you know, the spiritual master, one can do amazing things. One can do amazing things. And we've seen it time after time, and it's still happening. You know, books are being written, devotees are coming, temples are opening. You know, so many wonderful things are happening in the midst of Kali Yuga. It's all due to the mercy of the spiritual master. It's the life and soul of a devotee, is the spiritual master's mercy. Therefore, what is success in devotional service? Success in the devotional service is that you try. But until you get the mercy, the success is not there. But you can't get the mercy unless you try. You have to try your best. That accesses Krishna's mercy. But it's not your trying that is the success, it's Krishna's mercy that makes everything successful. But the endeavor allows Krishna's mercy to manifest. So it's all based on Krishna's mercy.
Some effort.
You know, generally, due to our, when we say Western upbringing, we think that our effort is everything. In one sense, it is, and that's the best we can do. We can make our effort, and we can also pray for the mercy simultaneously. But we have a tendency to be fruitive, and we take this fruitive tendency into devotional service. And that's just a tendency. But if we don't make an effort, Prabhupada said, you know, Krishna was on the chariot, but Arjuna had a fight. You can't say, well, Krishna's there, therefore, and everything's wonderful. Yes, but still Krishna told him to fight. So we use a statement, you have to act like it depends on you. And you have to know it depends on the mercy of the Lord. How do you do that? It's not easy. Because if you act like it depends on you, you can also think that it depends on you. Yeah, that's the subtleties of bhakti, that one is making a grand effort and one is thinking, and you know, well, it's all happening because of my effort. But if you don't make the effort, then the mercy also doesn't know. Krishna told Arjuna, you fight for the sake of fighting, never consider happiness and distress, honor and dishonor, victory, defeat. Fight because I want you to fight. Yes. Yeah, well. Well, Sushrusha Sharadanasya Vasudeva Kadaruchi Sanriyat Seva Vipra Punya Tirtana Sevana. By serving great souls, great service is rendered. By such service, one gets an affinity to hear the message of Vasudeva. So one becomes attracted to hearing and chanting the glories of the Lord through the association and service of great personalities. Now, the obstacles that one encounters in their devotional service, Bhaktivinoda Thakur actually says in one prayer that these obstacles are my greatest happiness. Why? Because they give me a chance to offer something to you. The difficulty, he says, not obstacles, but the difficulties. Sometimes we think, why are there so many difficulties in my Krishna consciousness? But these difficulties are actually opportunities to, you say, put more effort in your Krishna consciousness, to pull back and see what else you can offer to Krishna. It's an opportunity to offer something. If everything is so easy, then there's no question of devotion. The tendency is to want everything to work out smoothly. But that's not Krishna consciousness. Prabhupada said, devotional service means to declare war on Maya. And you can expect there will be a fight, but these Maya is simply putting the pressure on us, not only to purify us, and to really to make us work, to make us work more in the right way, and to purify our hearts so we can become more aware of our relationship. So obstacles for a sincere devotee are not really obstacles. And of course there's different kinds of obstacles. We shouldn't create obstacles, that's by our... Now the apparent, what we say, obstacles in Krishna Leela are all created by Yogamaya, the internal energy of the Lord, who is just arranging these different aspects of loving relationships to enhance the mood of devotion, mood of love. There's variety, there's intrigue, there's humor. We were hearing from Bhagavai Baba Maharaj, he was explaining the wonderful pastime this morning, how Krishna wanted to see Radharani, but it wasn't the time of day where they could meet. So the big plan has how to trick, you know, Radharani's guardian, you know, Satila, who was keeping very scrutinizingly watching Radharani. And it was a big endeavor. Subal dressed up as a cowherd, as Radharani, and Radharani dresses up Subal. You know, without repeating the whole pastime, the description of all these different little plans and intrigues, which are quite humorous when you hear them, but at the same time, they're bringing Radha and Krishna to closer and closer together. And the effort that they take in order to meet makes the meeting even greater. Same way, the effort we take in order to get to Krishna makes our devotion to Krishna even sweeter. That's why, you know, the more we give, the sweeter it is, in a sense. It can be applied also on the mundane one. Anyone else? Any other questions? Yes, Gopal. Just the other night he said that to us.
Yeah. Just to preach to that class of people. So then could one see that pursuit of mundane knowledge being an obstacle in spiritual life? I mean, Maharaj is very qualified and eligible to preach to that class of people. Not all of us are up to that level. So in that pursuit of mundane knowledge, one gets so caught up in it that it becomes like an obstacle.
Yeah, and I've seen it where devotees, in pursuit of that, even in a sincere pursuit of that, such service attitude, they actually develop attraction for that material and actually find more pleasure in that than in devotional topics. Or find not pleasure, it's not the pleasure of the heart, maybe it's the stimulation of the mind. Pleasure of the heart they don't get. So yeah, you need Krishna Shakti Vihana Hetad Vivartam. When one is empowered by the Lord, then one can preach Krishna consciousness all over the world. So one should not artificially try to jump up to a position that is not their position. Prabhupada said, I forgot the exact. Tejo Sarajo Sayos. I can't remember the exact Sanskrit. But one should not do what the great souls do, or try to do the same thing. There's a Nuskaran and a Nusharan. There's following in the footsteps, and then there's imitation. Prabhupada said, imitation is very bad. To imitate, we do that too. We see, you know, the activities of when we say advanced devotees, we try to imitate those activities. And we actually become a sahajya somewhat, or just an imitator without developing the internal bhav. So it's a little dangerous to imitate. Very dangerous, probably. Better to just try to emulate those qualities by following in the footsteps, by following the instructions, following that path of bhakti that is chalked out by that person you're trying to, you know, follow. Then we develop the adhikara, the qualifications. Yeah. It's easy to fall into that. Anyone else? Any other questions? Dhammaraj. How to I'm sorry, I missed that word.
Attentiveness?
How to become more attentive in our devotional service? Of course, you know, concentration of the mind comes with purification of the heart at the same time. As the heart becomes more and more purified from unwanted things, the mind becomes more steady in devotional service. But therefore, until we come to that stage, we have to practice. We have to practice being attentive. We have to every day get up and chant our rounds, practice. We have to hear the classes attentively. Just like Prabhupada explains in one verse in the Srimad Bhagavatam, that he says, when one has to learn to hear with rapt attention the message of Srimad Bhagavatam, one has to learn to hear with, he uses the word rapt attention. But then he goes on to explain in the same purport that one cannot have rapt attention unless one is pure in mind. And one cannot be pure in mind if they're not pure in action. And one cannot be pure in action unless they're pure in eating, sleeping, mating, and defending. So he explains what is the process of developing rapt attention. But then he goes on to end the purport, but somehow or other, just try to hear. Even if you can't, you're not up to that standard. But that is actually the process. Now by regulating the bodily activities in devotional service very carefully, one's actions become proper. And then through the execution of devotional service and proper regulations of the bodily activities, one starts to be in their actions. And then one starts to develop purity through the process of devotional service through hearing and chanting. Then as that increases, rapt attention also increases. But in the meantime, we still have to practice hearing attentively. We still have to practice trying to hear our rounds the best we can. We have to make an effort. We have to make an effort. Usually what it really means is, as long as you have desires for sense gratification, the mind is never peaceful. And if the mind still have desires for sense gratification, then those desires are going to pull you away from attentiveness in Krishna consciousness. So we have to at least reject the tendency to act on these desires. And at the same time, execute the process. We try to fulfill our desires in Krishna intense sense gratification and in Krishna consciousness, then the process is very slow, practically making hardly any advancement. So try to hear attentively. Try to read attentively. Try to understand what you hear and what you read. Try to chant nicely. Practice. I think they're giving seminars in attentive hearing, Bhaja Bihari Prabhu. They're giving seminars and facilitating communications. How to hear attentively. How to hear submissively. How to hear with empathy. How to hear with discrimination. How to hear. Hearing is the foundation for everything. Any more questions? Hope all
people. All right, you mentioned earlier about these five things. Sleep, distraction, indifference, or disinterest in spiritual conflict, tendency towards bad habits.
Yeah.
They work from children to children. And once these things have been removed, then it's understood that initiative, that determination.
Yeah, steadiness. Well, some of the ways to overcome these difficulties, first of all, you have to recognize them. First of all, you have to recognize, I think Maharaj, Bhaktivedanta Maharaj, is very expert in giving us tools to recognize, what we say the anarthas, or the subtleties that are keeping us, back in our devotional service. So use those tools, recognize them, and so work at them. But at the same time, what really makes things successful is associating with devotees, those who are fixed and are more advanced in Krishna consciousness, because we start to develop those qualities. We hear from them, we serve them, we also imbibe their qualities and characteristics. So a lot of our success is due to association. important. And what is the basis of our association? The morning program, the evening program, like that. Yes, Mataji. Let's see what he says here. Not all the anarthams are removed on the nishta stage. There's some anarthas that continue all the way up to bhava. Till one gets to prema, then all the anarthas are fulfilled, and until one meets the Supreme Personality of Godhead, then one still can fall down. We have the example of Bhart Maharaj in the fourth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. His devotional service was on the stage of bhava, affection for the Lord. But somehow or other, due to his soft-heartedness, he misapplied, his affection was misapplied to a deer. And what happened? He developed affection for the little baby deer, so much so that he diverted his attention away from his devotional practices and focused all his attention on this little helpless deer. And as you see, more and more, as you read that particular pastime, he becomes really overwhelmed with the thoughts of the deer, or the deer becomes everything for him. So there's an example. Prabhupada writes about that in the purports, that one has to be very careful on the path of devotional service, because a little mistake and then one will not attain the goal of life, and one will have to come back again in the next life. So, you know, when you go, the higher you go in the platform of purification of the heart and devotional service, the more the subtleties the anarthas get. And then, of course, one has to be very careful. The tendency is that at a certain stage of devotional service, one thinks they're okay. You know, one goes on. But that's, you know, the scriptures warn that you're never okay. Don't ever think you're okay. So in the process of nishta, still there is anarthas there, but they're more subtle. These five here manifest, these block a nishta. Once these five are removed, then one is actually engaged in nishta. The verse is Tado Rajas Tamo Bhava Kamalova Dayas Chaye Cheta Etaranad Vidham Stitam Sattvam Prasidati. As soon as irrevocable loving service is established in the heart, the effects of nature's modes of passion and ignorance, such as lust, greed, disappear from the heart. Then the devotee is established in goodness and he becomes happy. Nishta is of two types, concerning bhakti directly and concerning elements favorable to bhakti. It gets really technical here. Sakshat bhakti has unlimited, that's directed. There are many basic divisions, bodily, vocal, mental. According to some sages, first one attains steadiness in bodily services, then in vocal activities, kirtan, and finally in mental activities, remembering and meditation. Others, however, disagree with this progression, saying that eagerness to serve the Lord in a particular manner develops first due to the individual's natures of the devotee, whose bodily, vocal, and mental strength may vary. So there's some question whether things come in a progression or they manifest according to the nature of the devotee. Elements favorable to bhakti refer to humility, giving respect to others, friendliness, and mercifulness. These are all under the heading of nishtha. At times, however, one may see steadiness in such qualities as self-controlled devotee who has no steadiness in bhakti. He has steadiness in humility, friendliness, mercifulness, but no steadiness in bhakti. While elsewhere, one may not perceive steadiness in these qualities in an arrogant devotee who has attained steadiness in bhakti. In spite of this, by the presence or absence of steadiness in bhakti itself, shakshad bhakti, direct, rather than in the qualities of bhakti. So some are steady in the qualities, some are steady in the process. Learned wise men understand the actual presence or absence of nishtha through these. And those who are inexperienced are unable to perceive the truth. So it gets really technical here. So in summary, what has been shown is that laxity or intensity of effort, as well as difficulty or ease in hearing, chanting, and doing other devotional service, are the criteria for determining the two types of bhakti, namely steady and unsteady. Did you get that? Okay. In summary, what has been shown is that laxity or intensity of effort, as well as difficulty or ease in hearing, chanting, and doing other devotional service are the criteria for determining the two types of bhakti, namely those that's bhakti that is unsteady and bhakti that is steady. So the intensity or laxity of the effort in hearing, chanting, and doing devotional service. I hope this doesn't make everything so confusing. Sometimes you hear, oh, but devotional services, just chant Hare Krishna, be happy, take prasad. Yeah, if you can do that all the time. Just be happy, take prasad, do devotional service. But, you know, we have to see that the purification of the heart is a very complex thing because of the association with material energy from time immemorial. So there's so much, what we say, subtleties of that contamination that manifest in different ways. So that's why the acharyas have given us these deeper and deeper principles of how the material energy affects us in the process of purification and how to overcome that. But there are some key points. So Srila Prabhupada explains, basically he summed up devotional service in this way. The three things that we should really concern ourselves in devotional service, two are positive, one is negative. The two positive things is chant the holy names of the Lord and follow the regulative principles. And the regulative principles are 64, not 4. Mentioned in Nectar Devotee, there are 64 regulative principles. Now, Lord Krishna knows that we can't follow all 64. So, although he gave those 64, he also gave a condensed version of that. The 11th canto describes that they condensed down to 15 major activities. You can read those, I don't have the list here, it's in the 11th canto. 11th canto, 19th chapter, verses 20 through 24, if you want to know the scriptural reference. Krishna talks about the 15 items of devotional service. He says, outside of that, there is nothing else. 11, 19, 20 through 24, he's speaking to Uddhava. So, chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, follow these regulative principles, and the last thing is a negative thing, and this is the most important part of what we say removing is avoid offenses. The process of bhakti is quick and it's very powerful, but offenses impede the process and make it very slow or sometimes even stop the process. So we have to be very conscious of what those offenses are and how to avoid them. So these three things Prabhupada emphasizes in his letters. If you read his letters over and over again, chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, follow the regular principles, avoid offenses. You can focus on those three things and your process of Krishna consciousness will be very fast. Yeah. Yeah, prayer is powerful. Prayer is actually one of the nine angas, nine limbs of devotional service, offering prayers. Praying for purification of the heart, praying for the ability to execute the process properly, which means to avoid offenses. But there are certain, what we say, foundational principles that allow for one to avoid the first. And those foundational principles are Trinadapi Samichena Dayori Vasu Hishnana Amanina Mamanadena Kirtaniya Siddharahi. This is the foundation: humility, tolerance, pridelessness, and giving respect to others. This is the mood of devotional service. That verse corresponds with nishtha. The shikshastika prayers also correlate with these nine stages of devotional service. And the third prayer is on the prayer of nishtha. That's explained by Bhakti Vinod Thakur. So one who is executing that, in the third prayer, at least trying to execute it, will come to the stage of nishtha. And then he explains, Nadanam na janam na sundarim kavitam vaja gadisha kamaye manma janmani janmani ishwari bhavata bhakti ahaita kitwai. In this verse, I don't want wealth, I don't want followers, I don't want, you know, the enjoyment that comes with the opposite sex. What do I want? Devotional service, life after life. That is the process of ruchi, or the next stage beyond nishtha, where one is actually tasting the happiness in Krishna consciousness and can pray, yes, I don't want all these things. And I don't mind coming back and just being your servant life. That's on the stage of ruchi. But the stage of nishtha is the one before that. So how to become steady and avoid the offenses is that verse, Trinadapi Samichena. So we have to cultivate that mood of Krishna consciousness, which allows for us to, what we say, make progress on the path, to avoid defenses, to answer your question. If one is humble, tolerant, and giving respects to others, and then that is the consciousness which allows for a favorable execution of devotional service. It allows for one to avoid offenses. At least Vaishnava Aparad. Of course, we have to also avoid Seva Aparad and Nama Aparad. Nama Aparad too can also be very costly. That's why we recite the ten offenses every day. the holy name, we learn what is those 10 offenses and try to avoid them. And that's a whole discussion, how to avoid namaparada. To explain, namaparada is best avoided by following the 11th offense to the holy name, which is attentive chanting. When one is attentively chanting, the tendency to commit the other 10 offenses becomes lessened. So there's key things in devotional service that makes so many other things successful. Humility is one. Attachment for chanting the holy names of the Lord is another one. Associating with devotees is a very important part. These are like some of the foundational things that really makes everything else, you know, when we say easily understood and executable. I hope I didn't bewilder you in my answer. Is it okay? Okay. Yeah. If you're always, of course, to be humble is not easy, because the false ego is there. But if we practice, it will come. Yes. Yeah, we should be friendly, but also respectful. Not that friendly becomes disrespect. You know, we have a tendency to be casual, but we should never lose respect in that casualness. You know, it's friendliness is there, but we should avoid, you know, the friendliness based on personal interest. You know, like I'm trying to get something. Friendliness in devotional service, the mood is more or less how to give or how to be a part of a situation that brings about more understanding of Krishna consciousness and Krishna consciousness principles. So if we're always thinking in terms of how to give rather than how to get, then, you know, devotees laugh, they joke sometimes, and they, you know, sometimes they get kind of like really lighthearted. That's all right. That's Krishna consciousness. But it would, in that, we should never, you know, minimize the importance of others in that friendliness. At least try to avoid that. Yes, Krishna Priya. Yeah. Well, if it's, is it unavoidable? Well, it also says that in Nectar Devotion, one should associate with like-minded devotees. It's not that we can have an intimate association with everybody and expect everything to work. It's not that. It's not like that. Devotional service, it allows for our spiritual qualities to develop, but still, you know, we have our personalities, and some personalities resonate better than other personalities. So if you're finding that you can't associate with certain devotees for certain reasons, although you try, best to associate from a distance with a respectful attitude. You know, we're not sentimentalists, but we're try to understand that association with devotees should always be favorable, or at least should be favorable to pushing on devotional service. Yeah, there's some devotees we resonate towards, and others we can respect from a distance and still have a relationship, but there's only certain ones you can really be close to. You know, that's natural.
So it's not only knowledge of the problem?
No, it's understanding, you know, the dynamics properly. But, you know, it's not easy to understand that. You'll learn sometimes through trial and error. But if you're always in Bhakti Vinod Thakur says, somehow I live in this world by giving respects to everyone. He says that. I respect everyone according to their position. That doesn't mean he associates with everyone, but he gives everyone respect. How can he do that? Because in the heart of every living being, Krishna is there. So you can respect everyone because in the heart of everyone, Krishna is situated there. When you disrespect another person or don't give proper respect, then in one sense you're committing offense to Krishna in the heart of that person. So you want to avoid that. So some you can respect together and some from a distance. You just have to be real. Any other comments or questions? Yes? Let me see if I can understand your question. What is the... Denying process is a devotional service. Well, we read about the characteristics of each of those categories. I've heard correlations between, you know, the nine stages of devotional service and the Shikshastika prayers, also the nine stages of devotional service, and, you know, how one is manifesting the qualities. But I've never read connection between those three in relationship to that one verse in devotional service. Bhakti Vai Bhagavad, have you heard anything? The nine stages of devotional service, if they're any way correlated with the three categories of Kanishtha, Madhyamam, and, you know, I've never heard either. Yes, Bruce. Bhajana Kriya. Is that written somewhere? Well, it doesn't sound right because Bhava, it says that there's subtleties of an artisan bhava stage, and Uttama Adhikari Prabhupada says one doesn't fall down. In the bhava stage... Yeah. I see Sri Radha Damodar Ji Ki Jai. I see Gaur Nithai Ki Jai. Jagannath Baladev Lady Subhadra Maharani Ki Jai. I see Radha Kalachan Ji Ki Jai. I would hesitate to make any confirmation of that until I really heard more about that. That would be my safe answer. Yes, Mataji, you had a point you wanted to make.
Yeah.
anartha nivrittis before nishtha. Well, if you study the characteristics of each nishtha, kanishtha, or the lowest stage, he's considered a materialistic person. He doesn't give respects to people in general, nor has regards for other devotees. He worships the Lord and follows the instructions, or at least tries to follow the instructions of the spiritual master, but he has a materialistic conception of devotional service. A madhyamam is the... Actually, Prabhupada said our society should function on the second-class platform. There's a wonderful purport in the Srimad Bhagavatam in the third canto. Third canto, 21st chapter, 31st verse. Please read that purport. It's really amazing. The points he makes is that, you know, we have to come to the madhyamam platform, because the madhyamam platform is a platform of preaching, and this is a preaching movement. And on that platform, there's four qualities. You show your love for Krishna. You make friends with the other devotees. You preach to the innocent. You try to bring them up. And you avoid the, you know, atheist non-devotees. These are the qualities of the madhyama. He said, this is where we have situated our ISKCON movement, on that platform. Uttama Adhikari, according to definition, he doesn't see anyone not serving Krishna. He sees everyone serving Krishna more than him. But we can't preach on that platform. That's why we come, it says the Uttama comes down to the Madhyam platform in order to preach. So he can make a distinction between classes of people and those who are devotees, those who are non-devotees, those who are inimical. Without distinction, you can't preach. Three 21:31. It's a wonderful purport. It's one of very powerful. In that purport, Prabhupada explains that even those who are in the Grihastha ashram and who have been initiated by a sannyas guru should open up their homes, invite people in, have kirtan, have prasadam, and discuss Krishna conscious principles. That this is the duty of all Grihasthas. Prabhupada has big ideas for spreading this movement. He wants everyone to be a preacher. In the sense that everyone should have that mood of giving to others. That's what it means to be a preacher. Not that everyone just takes up the renounced order of life, but everyone should preach according to their position. How many of you have read Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj's, you know, explanation, Madhurya Kandambini? Everyone? Every disciple has read it? You should read it. It's really well done. I not only did I read it, but I studied it and took notes on it. And it gets into finer aspects of these principles, which helps us to see things in a more, what we say, way that is relevant to our particular day-to-day experience. It's really a wonderful explanation. He did that with Harinam Chintamani too. It was really a wonderful... Those books are really masterpieces. And we need that. And that was Prabhupada's... You take the scriptures and explain them in more simplified languages for people in general, so we can understand things and deeper. Okay, I shouldn't keep you here too long. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Last announcement, His Holiness Radhanath Maharaj is giving Srimad Bhagavatam class tomorrow. So, okay. Thank you. Hare Krishna. You guys are going to be mad.